Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Hello everybody and welcome along to a real world road test here on the Radio Show Limited network of channels. I'm John Hindhoff. The car that I'm standing alongside now and looking at is the newest version of a vehicle that I've spent an awful long time in down through the years and put a huge amount of miles under the wheels of its predecessors. The subject of our test today is the new for 2021 Audi A6 Avant Quattro S-Line.
Real world road test.
Well, first of all, let's get our heads round the rather long name of this car. And I missed some of it out because I need to explain that a little bit later on. Audi A6, obviously, that puts you in the realms of the larger cars in Audi's range. Avant is Audi speak for a station wagon or estate car. Quattro is their famed all-wheel drive. TFSI says this car, unusually here in Europe, is a petrol-engined car rather than the TDI, which of course would be the diesel. Now no longer sporting the cubic capacity engine size anywhere in its name, this is a 55, and this is the bit I wanted to explain. Audi have employed a new system, and the thinking behind it, I have to say, I understand completely, but I'm still slightly confused by it in practice. The thought process behind this new model badging and categorization is, how much power does the car's motive power units, and notice I didn't say engines there, actually put out? And therefore that means that whether it's petrol, diesel, regenerative hybrid, plug-in hybrid, or indeed all electric, you can directly make the comparison by the numbers. So whether it's 40, 50, 55 or anything in between, that gives you an idea of the power output. Now this particular car that I've been living with for the last week or so is a 55. That means that we've got north of 300 horsepower to play with. As far as I can see, this one actually is 335 horsepower, and the V6 petrol engine with the seemingly de rigueur hot V turbo, just like motor racing engines, it's mounted north south under this very elegant bonnet here around the front, is an absolute peach. I suspect that here in Europe it will not get spec'd very often, which is going to be a bit of a shame, because I think the engine is one of the star parts of the car, but we'll come to that when we drive it. As far as the styling, it's very Audi, but it has slightly been tweaked a little bit from the previous models. The aggressive front end that we saw started, what, 2 or 3 years ago now, with this hexagonal grille that has a 3D effect. On this car, it's all in gloss black, all of the front end dominated by, in the UK, a license plate, a registration number, the big Audi four rings, which are in silver, and not one, not two, but three different sets of sensors, cameras, etc., and the Quattro badge, silver on black. The rest of the front end of the car, well, you've got what are, in fact, four, and by that I mean FAUX, not FOUR, intakes, with grills across them in front of the wheels, although there is just this little slat there, isn't there? Yeah, which is taking a bit of air in. It makes it look a little more racy than it is. It has a sort of chicken wire grill effect on it in solid plastic. There's a spoiler that juts out the front and various other bits of cooling underneath the main grille itself and a couple of little extrusions underneath either side. I think it's a very aggressive look. I've said this about recent Audis in the SUVs when I tested and drove the Q8. The way that they visually pull down the nose of the car, and that's so hard to do nowadays because, of course, for pedestrian safety and here Euro crash test regulations mean there's actually not that much you can do around the front end. But visually, they've given the car a nip and a tuck, and it does look very, very narrow, very low, very mean. The headlights cut way back into the wheel arches, the fenders there, with a slightly new design on the front end for the day notice lights, the daytime running lights. Coming down the side of the car, there's just a little flare to the front wheel arch with an extra sharp crease that runs onto the top of the wing and then onto the bonnet. And that clever thing again that designers are using now, using a positive curve to create a negative space, which makes the bonnet look like it's got several complex curves on it, runs nicely into the air pillar, which is swept quite far back and gives a quite a rakish look. Big, big rear mirrors on the doors, which in this case again have that gloss black appearance because this car has the black pack. Before I move further down, by the way, I should say this has got some very expensive Audi Sport branded 21 inch alloys running what look to be rubber bands around them, but by looking down on them they are 255/35 R21s, and I think they're the same both ends of the car. Yeah, they are. And considering that they are 21 inch rims with basically very little sidewall on them at all, the ride is very good. Coming past the front doors, through the B pillar, which is again all gloss black, this has got the privacy glass on. I'll just nip round the driver's side and do my usual test of getting in behind my seat set for myself. Door opens almost to 90 degrees, which I like. There's no intrusion whatsoever to the wheel arch into the door space, which means that if you were an older person and you have to sit down on the seat and then swivel into the back of the car, that's easily done. Soft close on this version as well. Inside, it's very, very Audi. Dark wood complementing a dark leather, which is quilted in here with the stitching. And I was going to say actually sitting behind myself, but this, I've got the comfort entry on this. So the seat is actually as far back as it could possibly go. I'm nearly 6 feet, and there must be 3 or 4 inches between my knees and the back of the seat. You're sitting up slightly here in the back, and the window line actually is below my shoulder, so it isn't at all a bad place to be. This has the optional panoramic roof in it. At the moment, I've got the rear blind closed, but with that open, it's even a more brightly lit spot here. As I said, it's very Audi. It's got the B-pillar ventilation for the backseat passengers and a very nice black panel down between the front seats for you to control your own air and heating. 12-volt outlet in the back and a couple of full-size USBs. Just so happens that I've got the middle of the centre console down. There's a little place to store various things, and of course the essential cup holders. Fold that up. You could sit somebody on that. I don't think I'd want to spend an awful lot of time in there, but strictly speaking, I suppose this is a 4, not a 5-seater. Now, let's get ourselves back out again and continue round to the back of the car, because this is an estate car, so quite clearly you are going to want to know what's happening behind, because if you pick this car rather than any of its competitors or with a boot, then the reason that you're picking it is for load carrying. And it makes a very good, I think a good estate car makes a very good alternative to an SUV and sometimes can be even more practical. Just love these soft closed doors, by the way. Click and it just draws in. Fuel filler flap on the outside, which will take 91, although they do say that 95 is what you should take, but 95 is standard here in Europe, and it will take up to E10 as well, rather importantly. Remember, that is a petrol car. Powered lift on the beautifully smooth rear hatchback, and there's 485 litres in there. Now, that's not as big as some of its rivals, but what I will say is it's absolutely square, and it's a relatively low lip, so it's easy to get things in. There's some underfloor storage as well, which doesn't have on this car a spare wheel. It has one of those compressors, quite a large piece of electronic equipment in the back, a spare number plate, and some double-sided stickies in case you do need to tow something. But plenty of room in there, and the Audi fixings as well, which I've always found useful, so you can put the tie downs on. There's a 12 volt in there as well, and you can flatten the seats from back here as well. It's got the LED lighting kit on it as well, which changes colours if you want it. And there's a little switch on the left hand side here to pull, and the tow ball pops out. You snap it into place, you pull it again, push it back so that you don't bang your legs when you don't need your tow bar out. The back of the car, I think, is beautifully put together and well designed. I've always thought the A6s have looked better actually as an estate than the saloons, particularly in their early years. And of course, that's why the RS estates, both in 4 and 6, sold in considerably larger numbers than their booted brethren. The exhaust pipes look like they come out from the valance at the back, but actually they're blanked off. And the exhausts, presumably for sound purposes, are pointing straight down at the ground, and I've got to reach quite a way back underneath to find them. Interesting. Very well designed, very well put together. Nice long wheelbase, relatively small overhangs, particularly at the front. The design, I think, is super, very integrated. There's almost a hint, again, it's clever design, a hint of the part behind the C-pillar, so the estate car bit itself being a bit coupe-ish. I mean, dare I say this, but it does remind me a little bit. It's a big car now, and it does remind me a little bit of the Panamera Sport Turismo, which I fell in love with when I drove one across the US, 18 months, 2 years ago. Now, particularly with this big rear spoiler on the top of the rear window. It does do pretty good job in keeping the rear window clean. I've not used the rear wiper despite some pretty filthy conditions, but it does make it quite difficult to clean all the way up to the top. When you stop at the service station and use one of their squeegees on the windows, you can't actually get it all the way under, so there's a little bit of a dirty band there that I would have to get my sponge underneath at some stage. So that's the outside of the car. Is it very exciting and a game changer for Audi? Well, no, it's not. But it has moved the design on. And one of the things I have to say before we get back in the car and drive it is this extra crease from the middle of the rear door all the way to the rear lights, which again wrap around into the rear wings. There's just a little hint there of creating a UR Quattro bulge over the rear wheels. And you see that in the door mirrors all the time. I like that. I like that little homage to Audi's past. We've had it on some of the more sporty versions of their cars, particularly not the last one, but the one before of the RS4. They were very, very prominent. It's not as prominent as that, but it's a clever piece of design just to say, for those that know, hey, that's our heritage. All right, let's get into the driver's seat. Again, nothing groundbreaking here. Just good quality Audi. And everything that you expect is right in front of you. Audi, for my from my opinion, have done a really good job in the integration of technology. When your main sales tagline is Vorsprung durch Technik, forward through technology, then quite obviously you've got to make sure that you can pair that off with the outside, the underneath, and indeed the inside of all your cars. And Audi have been doing that for a very long time now. They pioneered the virtual cockpit, and this latest version is as good as anybody else's out on the road and better than most. I think they've made it a little bit easier to configure. I do seem as though I've got what I want on the screen in front of me. There are two further screens, just over 8 inches on the bottom of the middle part of the centre console, and that's air conditioning, plus you can put some favourites and such likes into that, some shortcuts that is the terminology that Audi use, and then a whopping 10.1 inch screen above for everything else, which you can again configure how you want it. The entertainment and the infotainment, I suppose we should call it nowadays, I have driven Audis for a long time. It just seems to me to be about the most intuitive as you can. I haven't picked up the user manual on this car, which is quite unusual. But even though it's been a while since I've been in an Audi, there's nothing that stumped me. Again, a little bit of dark wood in the middle. You can spec that, of course, with carbon or with brushed metal. There's a bit of Alcantara in the doors. And typically for Audi, everything that you touch, whether it's the steering wheels, the shift paddles, any of the stalks, any of the buttons, everything that you put your hands on does feel absolute quality and premium. If I'm honest, there's a bits of trim around the door pockets and round the bottom of the seats where the seat adjusters are, which adjust seemingly a bazillion ways, that are a little bit more scratchy. But the main human car interface is very good indeed. All right, let's take this for a little bit of a drive and we'll give you some impressions of the Audi A6 Avant 55 TFSI Quattro S-Line. That's a mouthful. Let's get it started.
Real world road tests.
Well, I was being as quiet as I could there, just in case you could actually hear that V6 3-litre petrol engine starting up, but I suggest that probably you couldn't, even with the microphone turned up as it was. Let's take this Audi for a little run. Now, get out onto the open road in a moment. This car is available with what is effectively four-wheel steering. Now, it is a big car, and round town some people might feel it a little intimidating, but even with the seat all the way down, which, as you know, if you listen to our real world road test on a regular basis, is where I like to drive, the vision at the front and the rear corners are pretty good. It's quite a light, airy place to be, despite the acres of black leather and black wood here. I think Audi have got the balance right. The sports seats in this S-Line are extraordinarily comfortable, even for long runs of 4 or 5 hours behind the wheel, and I've done that up and back to the Nürburgring, covered about 900 miles in what was effectively two journeys, one there, one back, so 450 miles each way, with the only break being on Eurotunnel, and even then you stay in the car. Nowadays, I can report that getting a snooze of about 25 minutes was remarkably easy in the sports seats, and with, of course, the driver's seat having the memory function. Once we arrived back in Folkestone, I was able to push the button and get ready to drive away quickly, unlike somebody three vehicles down who'd fallen sound asleep and delayed us by about 10 minutes. However, this car then is a consummate long distance mile muncher or kilometre killer. Of course it is. We know that. We know that that's what Audis do. I mentioned the engine earlier on and what a little peach it is. Getting on that 900 mile trip, ran about 36, 37 miles to the gallon in total, which for, remember, a 335 horsepower for the most case all-wheel drive car is pretty good. It delivers its power in a silky smooth way, and flexing my right foot there to take myself from 5 miles an hour to 60 very quickly indeed. In fact, if you are one for numbers, a 0 to 60 for a car, by the way, that weighs over 1800 kilos, a tad over 5 seconds. And remember, this is an S-Line, not an RS. So this isn't the performance version of this car. That will come later. But that is mighty impressive. But it's just the unfussy way that it goes about everything. Having piled the technology into this car, I know some people don't like that, but most of the major things that can be a bit irksome can be turned off with one switch. The automatic lane keep is up on the top left stalk on the steering wheel. You can program in the chassis control as well as the engine and the diff controls onto an individual setting. So I've been cycling between the efficiency mode, and this has a 48 volt mild hybrid, which is very impressive and totally inconspicuous in normal running. Audi say that it gives you about 4 miles to the gallon better fuel consumption, and certainly on the long runs down to Germany, sitting at motorway speeds over there, which is up to just over 80 miles an hour, being able to coast to up to 99 miles an hour, lift off, and apparently the engine just cut off and the car just carries on doing its merry thing. Well, that's clearly done wonders for the fuel consumption. That, as I say, is completely inobtrusive. You don't have to do anything. There's a little battery underneath the boot floor which doesn't eat into the boot space at all. Clever integration of that. A whole host of driver aids, including pre-sense for collision, lane assist that I've mentioned, a very good radar-assisted cruise control and terrain following, and by that I mean GPS following, so it knows when there's a corner coming up. All of those, you can decide to have them in or have them out. And there's three settings on the driver's, three standard on the settings on the driver assists, which is everything, a bit, not much at all. And then there's, you can turn off individual things as well in the menus. I suspect that most people who buy this Audi A655 TFSI Avant Quattro will not be thinking about taking it on a track day. More likely to be thinking about towing their track day car and getting a set of tyres or a few toolboxes, etc., in the back. It would do that very well indeed, but it would also be a decent track day weapon, I reckon. The steering set on dynamic I find very good with the feedback. I've seen people saying that the four-wheel steer equipped cars can be a bit odd at certain speeds, where once you get out of town and the rear wheels are turning in the same direction rather than in the opposite direction to help you park easier, then the car can feel a bit odd because effectively it disconnects the steering wheel from the steering rack. No, seriously. And therefore, it can feel like it's putting a bit more lock in than you need. I haven't noticed that. Maybe I haven't felt the need to be pressing on quite that hard, but on the wonderful roads around the Nürburgring Nordschleife, as I was heading back away from the circuit after the 24 hours on a early morning run with no traffic and good sight lines, I thought this car was extraordinary. The adjustable suspension with the air suspended cars, of which this is one, certainly does its job. I've seen it in many Audis down through the years. They keep refining that system as well. And even with the worst of the British roads, cruising along now at 60 miles an hour down what effectively is a B-stroke C road, there's a little bit of tyre rot from the low profile tyres. The body control is excellent. I'm on individual, which I've had that set to dynamic suspension, so that pulls it down by 20 millimeters, so just under an inch, and then it goes down a little bit more once you get to 75 miles an hour, just that automatically, just to help with the aero and to maximize the efficiency. So all the usual Audi tech is there, but what does that do to the driving experience? Well, some people will say it lacks character and individuality. I'm not sure I agree with that, if I'm honest. I think it depends what you want out of the car. And what I would say instead is that it has multiple personalities. If you want a big, luxurious, for people and for adults and their luggage, continental cruiser, cross-continental cruiser, then this certainly will fill the job. And until the RS6 Avant comes online with a little bit more power and a more sport focus to its chassis, this is the most powerful and the quickest A6 that you can get, and I think it fulfills that very well as well. I mean, I suppose it ultimately comes down to what you want out the car, but it does a lot of things very well indeed. The best thing that I can say about it is that, having been away from Audis here in Europe for quite a long time, and certainly from Audis with petrol engines, I've reacquainted with myself with it very, very quickly. I've immediately realised that I could just as easily live with this big, and it is big, A6 estate for the kind of work that I do and the kind of loads and passenger numbers that I have to carry, as I can with any big premium SUV. And I suppose that is the important thing, to be honest, that this is a viable opportunity. What do you not get? You don't get off-road ability. Okay, but how many times do those premium SUVs do anything but drive up a grassy bank or park on a grass verge when the kids are being dropped off at school? You haven't got the higher driving position that, and the more commanding view of the road that you get in the SUV. But then again, those premium SUVs with sporty considerations are very expensive, whereas this is a much more sporty proposition, and it's about half the price. Started around about £50,000 for this body shape and engine, and go up to, well, how much do you want to spend? Because the options list is deep and expensive, and I daren't ask how much the 21-inch Audi Sport rims were, but I have seen the Vorsprung edition at £75,000, which to me, and maybe I'm old-fashioned, seems an awful lot of money on top of what is a very good car at the £50,000 to £55,000 mark. So in summary then, the Audi A6 Avant 55 TFSI Quattro S-Line still makes me laugh. It's exactly what you'd expect from Audi. They've moved their already high bar even higher in the sense of what they deliver and the way in which it delivers. It's so unfussed, to be honest. And how this 3-litre, 6-cylinder 345 BHP engine delivers its power. It's just got an elastic band stretch of torque. I've been so used to driving larger capacity diesels in cars this size that I'd forgotten what you can do out of a petrol car. And averaging over 60 miles an hour on the trip that I've just done, but still getting 36, 37 miles the gallon. And to be honest, some of that was on nadgy back roads where I may have been enjoying myself a little bit too much and using the gear shift paddles and having everything in dynamic. I think somewhere close to 40 in long distance motoring, highway motoring, would be eminently achievable. And that, for a car like this with the performance that is on tap, is an extraordinary achievement by Audi, who have, remember, debuted this, what was then called FSI technology in motorsport, and refined it in the original R8s at Le Mans. They've come a long way since then, and so has the technology, and we've absolutely got the benefit of that in these road cars. A viable alternative to a premium sporty SUV at about half the price, still a premium manufacturer and still everything you'd expect from Audi, that makes this car look very attractive indeed. Right, back onto the back roads for a final blast before they come to pick up the keys. Audi A6 Avant 55 TFSI Quattro S-Line. I bet you'll fall in love with it in less time than it takes you to say the full model title.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.